Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon, where you listen to my guest and I speak up so that you can act upon what you've heard. Today, we are celebrating International Women's History Month, but as you know, last week, we started with the celebration by having a preview, a little taste of the Indigenous Dance Festival that was happening. So today, we're doing something called a pop-up poetry day. We did it at Valentine's Day, and many of you wrote or called and said you liked it. So here we are again. Pop-up poetry is kind of like when you have had a nice Friday and you notice the weather's good and you decide to call up some friends and say, come by, we're going to have a picnic, or come by, we're going to look at some movie. So today we're inviting you to come by, listen to what happens when you invite some people who love poetry, love expressing their sentiments, and can connect to something like Women's History Month. As each person just before they begin, they'll give a brief introduction so you will know who they are. And we also use a thing called RIIFF, and that is Respectful, Interesting, Inspiring, Friendly Feedback. That's a carryover through the Powered by Age podcast and some other poetry things. I don't do slams. I don't like the idea of this poor poet comes to slam up against the other one. We take people soaring higher and higher. So without further ado, I'm going to start with the person that was first checking in on our poetry pop-up today, and that is Neil Ryan. He will introduce himself briefly and share a poem.
Yes, my name is Neil Ryan. I'm an 84-year-old, as of last week, poet, and I love sharing my work. And I have two pieces to share today, and we'll get to them in a minute. But in the meantime, yes, my name is Neal, N-E-A-L-L. My mother couldn't spell, so anyway. What else can I tell you? Is that life is good, and it's good to be here, and I love sharing my work. So, Charlotte, do you want me to go right into sharing a poem?
Yeah, do your first one.
Okay. This poem is called "Who Is She to Do?" I'm sorry. Who is she to you? A poem for Women's Day. Who is she to you? A mother who deserves your respect, not because she's your mother, but because she is the source of life that was there for you when you needed her. Who is she to you? A sister who was there to drive you batty and share the experience with those truly crazy making parents that you share. Who is she to you? A teacher who treated you with kindness when your playground experience was crumbling down around your ears. Who is she to you? A daughter who merits your unconditional love, not because she's perfect, but because unconditional love will teach her to love herself. Who is she to you? A wife, a life partner, a lover, an advocate, someone who's got your back while you and her try to sort out all the pitfalls and convolutions of life. Who is she to you? A sales clerk who's had a difficult day with a world of kids, bosses, and God knows what, who deserves your patience because she's got a crummy job with crummy pay and she's there to serve you. Who is she to you? She is someone who's been insulted, verbally abused, sexualized at a young age, and physically threatened at some time in her life because she is female. She is a person who deserves nothing less than your full respect as an equal human being. That's who she is to you. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Okay, are there a couple of people who would like to volunteer to give some riff to Neil? Okay, Lisa, if you were in an auction, you would have bought it.
I was scratching my eye, but Neil, thank you for that poem. I really enjoyed it. I think that it was beautiful and that it put on display the different aspects and the facets of womanhood, the good, and you know, the challenging that makes us better, that comes and make us better. So thank you for that.
Okay. Dr. Ramona has her hand up.
Thank you. Thank you, Charlotte. Thank you, Neil. That was wonderful. You know, all the different ways we look at a woman, mother, sister, teacher, daughter, wife. And I like the bottom line of your poem very much. She deserves nothing less than your full respect. I think that is what we can really offer apart from that unconditional love. So thank you, Neil, for all your sentiments.
Yes, it connects so much with the statements many different countries and cities have different statements for International Women's Day, and that respect and all of those things that are given are definitely connect with that. Dr. Ramona, I believe you were next. Do you want to introduce yourself and share your piece?
Sure, Charlotte. So I'm Dr. Ramona Srinivasan, and I am a retired professor from Mumbai University, where I taught for almost 40 years. I am a writer, but not a poetry. So various academic texts in history and French. And today I was going to share a song, Charlotte. If you like, I can do it towards the end.
You can do it
oh,
now.
Oh, sure. I'll do that then. Okay. So this is dedicated to all the women, the loving women out there who are women in love. Life is a moment in space when the dream is gone. It's a lonelier place. I kiss the morning goodbye. Down inside, you know we never know why. The road is narrow and long when eyes meet eyes and the feeling is strong. I turn away from the wall. I stumble and fall, but I give you it all. I am a woman in love and I do anything to get you into my world and hold you within. It's a lie I defend over and over again. What do I do? With you eternally mine, in love there is no measure of time. We planned it all at the start, that you and I live in each other's hearts. We may be oceans away, you feel my love, I hear what you say. No truth is ever a lie. I stumble and fall, but I give you it all. I am a woman in love, and I do anything to get you into my world and hold you within. It's a right I defend over and over again. What do I do? So thank you for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoy the song.
Yes, and you took one of the paths that we had for our pop-up, that people could have a poem, a song, erotic proclamation. So thank you for being brave enough to sing. And at this point, I'll say, if someone would like to give any feedback, friendly, any riff, respectful, informative, inspiring, friendly feedback.
Well, I know that piece of music, and I really like that song. It's I'm not a woman in love, thank you, God. But anyway, I love that piece of music.
Thank you, Neil.
For our listeners, I'll say this is CJSF 90.1 FM, streaming worldwide at cjsf.ca. Today, we are doing a pop-up program, pop-up poetry, where our guests are expressing through poetry, song, proclamations, sentiments that relate to why it is important, why it is beneficial to have an International Day of Women's History and an International Women's Month. Okay, the next person that I think was popped up was Punky. Karen, would you introduce yourself and share your piece?
Okay, I'll try and do my best. I'm a friend of Charlotte through Eco Wisdom. I very rarely do poetry. I did this poem just this morning, so that's about it. It's called Mother Earth. Mother Earth, how wondrous and beautiful you are. You give us life in each season. You give us beauty, a reflection of stages in our lives. In spring, you give life. You bring forth your children, flowers, trees, animals, with their offspring so sweet, cuddling with their mothers. In summer, you bring joy. Your children play with endless energy and love that seems never to end. As summer changes to fall, the colors are darker and age shows Mother Earth has matured. She is getting ready for her deep sleep. Winter brings a blanket of snow in which darkness, peace, quiet, there is rest. The white snow covers her peacefully until it is time for spring to renew itself and life begins again. Was that okay?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
For a work that you created this morning, it had so many facets of appreciation for Mother Earth included. Thank you for taking the time to do that and for sharing it with us. Okay, I think next, Lisa came onto the scene. Would you introduce yourself and share what you've brought?
Okay. Well, my name's Lisa Futrell. I live in Southern California. I didn't think I was going to be prepared to, I didn't think I'd have a poem for this occasion, but Charlotte reminded me that the poems that I have written are perfect, kind of perfect for the occasion. And I thought about it and I thought, well, okay, Women's International Month. And I hope these are, you find these to be appropriate. The first one I'm going to do is called, where did it go?
You can talk among yourselves.
Ah! The first one I'm going to do, it's basically, I think that it could be appropriate because as women in the roles of women, you know, we do have so many different facets to ourselves and responsibilities, and we have so many tasks and roles that we fulfill. Some of them we put on ourselves, and then some of them society puts on us. They say, you know, women should do this, women should be that. And so we have so many things that are imputed upon us to be mothers, lovers, wives, parents, grandparents, and then sometimes we find ourselves at a particular stage of life where we're even now we're reparenting our parents. And so we have a lot of roles and responsibility, but we've done so many phenomenal things and in the world. So in the world, we look like these great warrior kings, women, but there is also that softer side. And at the end of the day for myself, I mean, that's how I felt. But at the end of the day, you're trying to please, you find yourself trying to please and to be all these different things. But at the end of the day for me, the heart of the end of the day is wanting to please God. And so one of the my callings in life is to pray for people. And sometimes I just don't feel like praying. But at the same time, it's like, oh, no, I don't want to disappoint God, though. And if that's possible, I don't even think that's possible. But the in this poem that I wrote, it's called Heavy Eyes. And I wrote this during a time where I hadn't really realized there is no way to really disappoint God. And so this poem was called Heavy Eyes. And it says, I've been interceding for a while. My flesh feels like not much else to pray. My eyes are so heavy, but I want to stay. There's 100 reasons to keep praying and hundreds more to sleep, but so many broken relationships at hand and so many children weep. Heavy eyes see no secrets and they aren't concerned with why. My warm bed is calling me out, but to stay awake, I must try. I don't want to disappoint the one who called me. To him, I owe my life. I'm afraid to hear those words. Could you not tarry with me throughout the night? But this mesmerizing sleep keeps hindering me. Only God knows my flesh is getting weaker and I begin to doze. Then I heard the voice proclaim as I fell deeper into sleep. You're saved by grace and not by works, and my love cannot be earned. Then he showed me a hedge of protection as high as my eyes could see, likened to the pillar of fire in the desert when they camped by the Red Sea. Still, I wanted to wake up and do my part. I must fulfill my call. But he smiled at me softly and said, rest, my dear. It's been a long day and you've given it your all. That's it.
All right. Thank yeah. you.
But I think a lot of people struggle with that, you know, and it's pretty common. So that's why I wanted to share that poem for, you know, International Women's Day.
You know, that poem speaks of the most important aspect of being a human being, and that is compassion. That line, rest, my child, that's about compassion that says, I love you. Rest, I love you. That's really, really beautiful.
Yeah, you got it. That's what I got. to experience.
I'd like to echo Neil's comments about compassion as well. It's often people, it's easy to think, I'm not doing enough for God. I'm not doing enough. But God has love and compassion for each of us. And I like the way you did that at the end, for God to say, I love you. Mm-hmm. It's like that old movie, Love Never Has to Say I'm Sorry or something like that. And when you love someone, you understand. That's why I love that word compassion too. It, to me, it combines love and understanding.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for that.
Yeah, the mental image that I was having, interestingly, it was like a mother, because sometimes it's a mother that tells you, go to bed, get rest, sleep, and forgives you. You know, it's just that I was just having an image or feeling of being in bed and being tossing and that hand patting and saying, rest, be at peace. So thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that. Gerald?
Okay. My name is Gerald Collins. I was actually trained as a financial person and a banker, but an illness kind of pushed me into something where his voice said, why don't you write a book? And I had been writing, of course, a lot of writing to get loans approved in the bank. It was a huge loan. I worked on multi-million dollar loan. But the point is, this voice basically was rather insistent. And this first book popped out in, God, 5 weeks. I mean, it was very quick. And then it asked for another one. And then a second book came out. That took a few years, but I've gotten to writing. I love it. And it inspires me. And so this, I decided to, I've got a book I just finished called Turn Poison into Medicine. It's one of, I think it's my seventh, and won't be out for a while, but I found a poem. I think this is the first poem I ever wrote. I looked through my computer. I find I've got a lot of poetry. I didn't know I had so much, but I didn't really think about writing poetry. Anyway, this one is called I Am Such a Love. And the book coming out is all about love and its power. Anyway, I am such a love kind without weakening, a love broad, able, willing, and expressed, a love encompassing each difference with acceptance, a love on what seems a secret mission, yet it is not, a love humble to consider itself above no thing, however, never looking beyond itself, a love aware of itself only, a love neither owing nor owning, yet a love within which everything is contained. I am such a love. I am such a beauty. I am such a kind. To believe in a love as such, that I am such a love. Such a love from which peace arises. Such a love cannot fail. Such a love is the flame from which passion, power, and promise are ignited. A love that boggles the intellect. Oh, one such love. A love whose gentleness commands respect. A love within which no fear is possessed. I am such a love. I am such beauty. I am such a kind. To believe in a love as such, that I am such a love. A love there which is no we nor they, just I. A love that needs no excuses. A love that sees past error to nothing. A love whose time is forever now. A love that always answers. Such a love has no wants. It never rests. It is free. I am such a love. I am such a beauty. I am such a kind to believe in such a love that I am loved and love as such.
Nice.
Thank you.
Would someone like to give some riff to Gerald?
Gerald, that's, you know, each of us is born with a piece of God in us. Not that I believe in the old Christian God that sits up in heaven and all that yada, yada, yada stuff, but that in fact, that we are a piece of the Maker, because we are the Maker. And I love the fact that you, if indeed God is love, as you describe it, then really, that's a beautiful poem about the love that is a piece of all of us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I say something just in general?
Yes.
Whenever I was told, when I was in a prayer group with some people, that everything you do is a prayer to God. You don't have to say long prayers. Whatever you do, whatever you say, as long as it's with joy and grace, is a prayer to God. All of the poetry that I've heard today are very beautiful.
Which gives a link to that. Interestingly, with International Women's Day, International Women's Month, that there is a link of women being a source of love, women being compassionate. So thank you so much for sharing that. Lisa had her hand up, I think, to give some feedback.
Oh yeah, I just wanted to say one thing to Gerald. I just that was really a beautiful poem, and I really liked the part. My heart leaped when you said "love never rests." That's all.
Okay.
Thank you.
Interestingly, those two poems made me share something that I wasn't going to share. As I have a poem that I've written about women and mothers, but it's a poem that sometimes when people ask me to perform, I do this as a kind of interaction poem, and people will say, C. Well, I don't have time today to teach everybody the places that you bring it in, but I'm going to do the poem. And when you hear me say C, it's not because I have a big head. It's just that it'll take a little while to get you as a group to do the response. A man came to my house the other day. He said, "Sister C, you are selfish." I said, "My friend, what do you mean?" He said, "What it is you won't share what it is that keeps you so in the air. See. I laughed when I really got his drift, and I said, "Hey, my friend, check this. I'm on fire. I'm on fire, fire for the Lord. I'm on fire. I'm on fire, fire for the Lord." So it goes on and has some more stanzas, but it's just, I think that as a woman, I feel fired up. And I think that so much of many of our lives, we were told, me growing up as a baby boomer in Kansas, was stay back, be quiet, don't say too much. So being on fire, the other things that happened in the poem is the guy, I said, he looked in the cupboard, he looked on the floor, he even checked the space between the carpet and the floor. Again, I say, "My friend, I'm on fire." And he was thinking that I had this energy because of some substance. I must have some substance in my cupboards that's making me have this energy. But I feel that that's one of the things that God gives, and that it's one of the things as women where we've been taught to hold it down, stay back, that really let the fire of God that's in you come forth, and the creativity, the things that you've been directed to do, will come forth. So now we'd have time for each person who wants to do a short second poem. And I think Neil asked first. We can do it in the same order. If somebody doesn't have one, then Dr. Ramona also has her hand. She's got her hand in the air. Okay.
Neil? Hello, Charlotte. I just wanted to clap and say that now you've set us all on fire.
Oh, and that's F-I-A-Y-A-H. Fire. And that's what poetry does. That's the thing about pop-up poetry. You, in your spirit, in the short term, hearing about an opportunity, you were on fire to come and share something. And so that's what is all the places that you go. I know that you're involved sometimes in open mics, sometimes as invited guests, but you carry the fire, and I salute you in doing that.
I've always somewhat, as well, had a little, let's call it, in terms of the female of our species, having the freedom to express feelings much more than the so-called male guy is supposed to do. And I said, I've always been a very emotional person and didn't like hiding it. Matter of fact, I was in a marriage once. His wife did not like seeing me cry. I said, well, I'm in church and it's so joyous. The tears flowing down my face. And she said, that's embarrassing. I said, well, I'm sorry, I can't help it. And it just, as I said, I'm somewhat jealous of the female of the species having the freedom. So I've had to find my freedom to do that same thing, to express myself. And when you say the word fire for the Lord, and that's one of the classes I took about Jesus, and supposedly Jesus talking about, I mean, the word for love is fire. And it's a passion that cannot be explained. And of course, Miracles talks about love basically being the creator of a miracle. And there's nothing big or small to love. It will handle anything with just such ease and grace. Anyway, if that makes any sense, I'm done.
Oh, thank you. Okay, Neil.
Thank you, Gerald. Thank you. What I find interesting is that as males, we do not have the language for emotions. And that's what we must learn if we want to express those emotions, is to learn the language of emotions. So I have a poem that I would like to share with you, even though it's not my mother's birthday. But my mother, I think, was the shoulders on which others stood. As a simple woman born in a farm. And let me read to you what I wrote here. This is my ode to Mary. Mary was born in 1903 by the light of oil lamps on a Manitoba farm. In that year, 3 of every 10 babies born never saw their first birthday. She was a bright child, bursting with energy and more courageous than most. But bound tight and wounded deep by the rules and limitations of her century. Back then it was God, King, and country, and damn you, woman, know your place. Edwardian era began in 1901. White males ruled and women were chattel, expected to do as they were bloody well told. Children were seen and not heard. Grade 3 was more than enough. Why waste an education on a farm girl? Water gets pumped by hand. Laundry scrubbed on a washboard. A churn for butter. You can't reach the sink to do the dishes, we'll get a stool.
It's a hard scrabble life, and you better know your place. But there is no choice of place when you don't know any other. Ignore the inequities. Women were not legally a person with rights to vote or own property. Ignore the millions of war dead and the 30 million dead from the Spanish flu. Ignore the 1929 market crash, the depression, the six-year drought with almost zero crops. But most of all, ignore the bank that took the farm. There is no such thing as trauma. Sensitivity is not allowed when survival is the job at hand. To survive her five brothers and her mother's rage, Mother Mary learned to manage the news. She learned to be smoke and mirrors to manage the people in an unsafe world around her. What have we done, Mary, to your homespun rural Manitoba world? Mary's life spanned from the creation of the Model T Ford to Neil Armstrong on the moon. With three boys, a newborn, one aged eight and another nearly teen, rations, an absent husband, and a war raging around the world that claimed 50 million lives, you held us together. And when the 1954 hurricane flood took everything, including our home, she picked us up, and we started all over again. I remember you said nothing about the change in mores when I was shacked up with Julie. Your 1900 training ground must have seemed light years away from my evolving world. And still, you did your best to cope in a world that must at times have been beyond your imagination. Thank you for struggling through it all and showing me one way of coping with the world. I apologize for not wrecking the source of your simplicity. Thank you for ignoring my anger that you were not perfect. Thank you for your hard work and love-filled food. Thank you, Mary, for being my mother. Thank you.
It was awesome. I just had chills because it was so vivid and picturing, as you talked about that woman, picturing all the places around the world where that kind of reality was the same. And even now, you know, they were talking about a lot of people who, in trying to take refuge in the United States, there are people that get them off into being sold or into forced labor, and the cry, the outcry that, you know, we need to have, and just taking and acknowledging that those conditions that were there, ignoring death, dying, suffering, that we need to be alert and we need to pay attention. We need to see what we can do with the gifts we've been given to make the world a better place. And I don't think to say a better place for women doesn't mean just women. It's all those roles that women carry and all those disappointments, deals, encounters that women face, you know, sometimes left with children or sometimes alongside a man who's been killed, discouraged, beaten, or what else. But I just think that all those images, it was historical. This is a historical event, Women's History Month, and you gave us some bits of the history that we need to continue to think about so that they don't continue to just reoccur generation after generation. So thank you for sharing that.
What popped in my mind, a number of things you said kind of reminded me of the point during the illness, a lengthy one, where basically the wife and I switched roles. She went to work and I took care of the kids. And I remember one time at the doctor's office, the doctor saying something about this. She said, well, you know, giving basically the way a male can raise a child, not that it's better, but one, it's a wonderful experience to have. Rather than going to work every day and coming home and seeing kids, to actually change diapers, do all of that. I mean, my father was amazed that I knew how to do all that stuff. And so I think, again, kind of the role that a woman plays and can play, to have all that skill, and if they want, then go to work. It's wonderful. And so I feel myself been blessed to have that opportunity. Would never want that illness again, but definitely to have that opportunity to do everything for the kids. I even have a picture of my child. I mean, I was bathing her in the sink in the kitchen, and she was that little, and it was just so much fun. So your poem brought up a lot, especially in the history and all of that. But it's more so that the idea of being able to just pursue or continue living through all of that and handle your responsibilities and just make it work. Anyway, thank you.
Yeah, I am just saying that reminded me of the history I took in school and all the rest of it. My father was very advanced for his time period. Both my parents were never feminists per se, but I would say I grew up in a feminist household because I had a father and a mother that divided the chores equally. My father was able to cook, clean, and basically almost do more than my mother. My mother grew up with a single parent mother, but she grew up also with a foster mother, and she didn't have to necessarily do all the chores. My mother was a breadwinner, and my father was a breadwinner also, but he was more or less more capable of taking over the household. So I grew up not in the traditional male or female role. I saw my father doing everything, and I didn't see him any more less masculine. I saw him as a full-rounded human being, and I saw my mother quite capable of doing things that were traditionally given to the male role. So that was quite interesting, since I'm of a generation that could have had the traditional role of the mother staying home, where I had the mother working. Interesting.
It makes a different perspective. Does anyone else have poem, proclamation, or song they're going to share?
I have a second one I can share.
Okay.
Yes, this is Lisa Futrell again. This poem is called I Jumped In. And when I first start writing this poem, I thought it was about dying or transitioning after death. But then I realized by the end of the poem that it wasn't about dying. It was about living and life and opportunities. And thinking about it today, what else did I want to share? The way that I think this one could be appropriate and fit in for Women's International Day is because, again, going back to the roles, as a woman having to navigate, sometimes having to navigate through a lot of masculine energy and to make choices and decisions and to be a certain way that you feel like you're not exuding masculine energy and you're keeping that, you know, your womanhood, your feminine energy as part of your essence. But yet and still sometimes opportunities present themselves and you want to go for it. And so you sometimes there's a hesitancy to feel great or to do great things or to be something great because you want to kind of stay under the feminine energy, so to speak. I don't know. My head goes there sometimes. But anyway, I think this one's appropriate for that because it's talking about taking opportunities for greatness and it's just called I Jumped In. So it's about in this setting, it's about jumping into greatness. Okay. Dreams of magnificent desert roses blooming in the spring, while silver doves sing, calling forth sleeping celestials out of the darkness to take heavenly flight. After floating from petal to petal, finding sweet nectar, I watched them soar higher and higher into the brightest of blue lights I'd ever seen. Then hope in God began to flash like bolts of lightning do, as the floodgates of heaven opened up to drop God's heavenly dew. This dream felt so real. Was I really asleep or was I now awake? The heavenly dew was now forming a river of no escape. God's river shone like crystal with blue and golden hues, and the beautiful desert roses were still within my view. This river of God now beckoning me, like deep calling out to deep. I stood there gazing down its path while planning to retreat. But when I heard a voice cry out, "Who shall I send?" I took two steps closer and then I jumped in.
I love that. Two steps closer. Yes.
Yeah. Where's my two? There we are.
Yeah. Okay, I have a poem called Harmony Over Hollering. And sometimes I'll spend 3 minutes on those different shows. It's called The Housewives of Los Angeles or The Best Basketball Housewives. And it's maddening me to think, why would you make a show like that? But why would people who have this huge amount of money to work with sit in a room and say, you know, scream at each other? And so I think the number of places that I hear women screaming at each other inspired me one night to write this poem called Harmony Over Hollering. Announce it from your front door. Announce it from the stairs. Whether you have a stoop or a grandstand, announce it while you can. Love and peace will abound throughout the land. The squirrels have a message. The sparrows sense it too. Beyond hoarding and scarcity, abundant pathways to renew. A fountain of hope filled joy, courage to unearth. Unearth it while you can. Love and peace will abound throughout the land. Open your mouth and sing. Trill down the doubters. Bass and alto blend new harmonies in revised time. Sing your song as boldly as your heart is inclined. Sing it while you can. Love and peace will abound throughout the land. Strike some new chords of harmony over hollering. Project upward patterns for uncommon solutions. Unscrew a few bottles and pour healing libations. Unscrew them while you can. Love and peace will abound throughout the land. Project harmony over hollering and uplift wherever you can.
Beautiful, Charlotte. Especially resonated with me because you spoke about singing. So sing a song of joy. Sing it while you can. Love and peace will abound. Beautiful. Thank you.
And thank you for your willingness each time to sing and sing things that resonate with us as you bring it forth from your heart. Okay, well, that brings us. Did anyone else have another poem or proclamation or statement they wanted to say? Oh, I know what I want to do. I want each of you to tell people how to get in touch with you. When we had our other pop-up, sometimes people ask, but how do we get that person? So if you have a website or if you have, don't say QR code, but just tell, we'll start around with Neil, Punky, Lisa, Dr. Each of you tell how people would get in touch with you.
Well, I'd like to promote my book. It's From the Other Side. It's available on Amazon. It's 60 poems, 3 short stories, about 30 aphorisms, or what I call haiku. Just a thought in my book. It says, when adventure beckons and you hear a voice inside that says, you can't do that, fire the negative cheerleader, trust that it'll be okay, and go for it. That's in response to Lisa's last poem. So I like that idea, and it's in my book. So, and it's, I invite you all to read some of my poems. They're at fromtheotherside.ca. Fromtheotherside.ca is free poems. The book From the Other Side is available on Amazon. That's my photograph. I was 7 miles over Iceland flying to London. And there's the sun breaking the horizon, probably over Norway or maybe Scotland. And I decided to use that photograph for my book. So,
and spell your first and last name for anyone who might just be searching for you by name.
Yes, yes, yes. You have to. There's more than one book on Amazon called From the Other Side. And so you have to invite the book that's got, and it's, my name is Neal, N-E-A-L-L. Last name is Rion, R-Y-O-N. It's Irish, but it's also Belgique, so... But anyway, I invite you all to go to fromtheotherside.ca and enjoy half a dozen of my poems. There's also 3 short stories in my book. And there's stories of a soul who is about to be born. And then there's another story called The Trial, which is the soul that doesn't want to be born. And then a soul that returns to the other side. So there are interesting ideas about life and death and the adventure of being here.
Thank you. Punky Karen, will you explain your nickname and how to get in touch with you?
I would just like to be with my email at the moment. I do not have a website. It's KarenVB@gmail.com.
KarenVB.
07@gmail.com.
And your radio, how can people listen to your radio show?
The radio show isn't playing right now. It won't be playing for probably half a year, but I do a radio show on, it's called Bold Tunes, and I play usually the first and third Sunday of every month, probably more or less like in the fall with a friend of mine from Texas, and it's called the Hunky and Freddy Show.
Okay, and we can let people know when there are new shows coming out. Okay, Lisa?
Okay, I would like to promote my book also. There it goes. It's called Healed in His Glory, and it's available on Amazon. Again, it's called Healed in His Glory. It's also on Audible. So you can Google it on Amazon and you can find it. It's available on Audible. You can get hardcover. You can get a paperback. You can get it on Kindle, or you can get it on, you can listen to it on audible.com, because some of the material in here are actually not poems, but songs that I wrote. And the person that I got to narrate it actually was a singer. So she actually sang the song, so you can hear the songs. And other than that, you can find me on Facebook. I'm listed by my name, Lisa Futrell. I think I'm the only Lisa Futrell. And I'm on Facebook.
Spell it.
F as in Frank, U, T as in Tom, R-E-L-L, Futrell.
Okay.
I, as well, like Lisa, I have a book. I wrote it. I don't know if it can be seen here. This is a book. It's like a woman who basically, I say she is sometimes maybe compared to a woman's, a Jesus. I mean, she rises to spiritual ascension, and she basically is appointed the head of her village council, and she just does many miraculous things. It's basically as well on the Kindle. It's on, there's an audiobook portion where a radio personality did the narration for me. I have everything Lisa said, I did the same thing with this book. There's a hard copy for libraries. And this is the signature book for the publishing company I'm getting started with. And although I've written a number of things that are nonfiction, this is it's actually a true story that was told to me, but I just went crazy with it and added so much more. So I call it fiction, but it's a favorite of mine. But of course, I like all the things I write. Mm-hmm. I'm complete there.
It's a good thing to like what you write. Dr. Ramona?
I just have my email ID, ramonasrinivasan@gmail.com. Do you want me to spell that?
Yes, please.
Okay, it's rather long. So Ramona, R-A-M-O-N-A, Srinivasan, S-R-I-N-I-V-A-S-A-N. @gmail.com.
Okay, well, I thank you for spending time with us this morning. So be bold, and thank you so much. You definitely reflected some things that are stated in every country and different province and state has their own particularly tweaked goals for International Women's Month. So we definitely got some inspiration. I thank you for taking the time, and I'll see others of you. We'll hear you next week at 10 o'clock. But you know, when people ask me what time it is, I say it's always love time, poem time. I'm Charlotte Farrell, and you have been on CJSF.ca. Love time, poem time, love time, poem time, love time, poem time. Time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time.